Welcome, everybody. This is Module 9 of the AR Online Study Course. We are going to be talking tonight about managing relationships. And interestingly enough, public relations is a key component of managing relationships. And I say this all the time, but this meeting is incredibly important to your success on the APR examination. And we want you to be very active. As you know, we want you to put comments in the chat window all the time. Right now is name one communication use for internal audience engagement. And a lot of people are saying Slack, the intranet, internal SharePoint, newsletters, e-newsletters, direct email. Excellent. Good job. Keep those comments coming throughout the evening. And the topic here is managing relationships. It's 15% of the questions on the APR examination, but that doesn't mean it's not important. In fact, you'll find after you go through this meeting today that managing relationships is really at the heart and soul of the APR examination, the APR itself. Consensus building. It's about looking and external audiences, consulting and negotiating skills, media relations, networks, and mediated technologies and other communication channels. So we'll talk about all of that tonight with our great panel. And I have to say, I'm going to look really quickly to see if George Couch was able to join us. And I don't see him in the panel unless he's called in and listening in on the phone. George, are you there? No. Okay, so I'm Michael Henry, your technical facilitator, and thank you so much for letting Shane be the technical facilitator for the last two meetings. I'm in Buenos Aires, Argentina, so if I start drifting off, just let me know in the chat window that that I've got a technical problem. And I'm joined by a great APR facilitator who has come back to us, and I'm so happy you have. Adrian Leon, welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks, Michael.
And I'm wondering if you would like to take just a moment to introduce yourself before we go to the scenario pack practice question. Share just a little bit about.
Yeah, sure. Are you there? You're cutting out a little bit on me. Are you there, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, I see. I did drop. I faded out. It was beautiful what I just said. You missed it all. Anyhow, I basically just asked you if you would introduce yourself.
Sure.
And, share a little tip too.
I work in public education in New York State. I work for the Capital Region BOCES. BOCES, and for those of you who don't know, in New York is sort of like an education cooperative. We provide a lot of different services to school districts, and one of those is communications and public relations support. So I work in that capacity. I got my APR, it was a year ago in January, and you know, I took probably about a year to get my APR, doing the online course and studying on my own and that kind of thing. And I couldn't be happier that I did. I think it opened up a lot of new opportunities for me, connections with colleagues across the country. And, you know, I get to do things like this and work a lot with the National School Public Relations Association. And I'm also on the board of the New York School Public Relations Association. How was that? Was that brief enough?
Yes. If you can hear me, I am going to call in because I'm getting packet loss signal here. So what I'm going to do is, Adrian, can you put your mouse on this? Oh, you don't see the slides.
I actually can't see the slides. They're not coming up for me.
Okay. David, can you control the slides? Because what I'd like you to do is to go through the question here yourself, and I'm going to call in on another line.
You bet.
Okay, great.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can. So go ahead. Everyone understands the purpose of the scenario question, and so let's go ahead and go right to the first question. And just remember, David, don't reveal the answer until after everybody has had a chance to respond. And I'm going to go call in right now. Go ahead.
Okay, sounds good. So you are the communication manager for a local water irrigation district. New sprinkler restrictions for the upcoming summer are being introduced, and there is a need to ensure members understand how frequently they can water their yards. The board of directors recommends a news release in the local paper to communicate the change. Even though you disagree with the method, the board is demonstrating what type of model. Select one. Press agency publicity, public information model, two-way asymmetrical model, two-way symmetrical model. Lots of bees, and sounds good, all right. Go to the answer. Even though you disagree with the method, the board is demonstrating the public, the board is demonstrating the public information model. And so the rationale of the KSA for this is managing relationships. And the source is the Manager's Guide to Excellence in Public Relations and Communication Management. And the rationale is the public information model is a one-way communication style. It uses press releases and one-way techniques to distribute information to your public. Your recommendation should be the two-way symmetrical model to ensure the public has mutual understanding of the change and there is an opportunity to compromise. Okay, and I'll turn it back over to Michael if he's back online. And he's not, so why don't we
jump to the next question. I can jump in. This is Adrian here. I can jump in. I'm at a disadvantage because I can't actually see the slides. So don't know what questions people are asking. It sounds like most people chose B, which was the correct answer. And I think kind of channeling Michael here, and you know, usually if everybody gets it right, the question was probably easier than a lot of the questions you would see on the exam. One of the things I thought with this question is it's almost like a trivia question, right? Like what form of or what method is the news release? And I think on the exam you'd probably see something that took it even a step further, that got it more the rationale for why they wanted to use it. So then you could the answer would be more based on why the choice was good or bad based on the rationale. It would probably go a little bit deeper, if you know what I mean, into the scenario. So I like where the question was going, kind of the difference between one-way and two-way communication. And so you have to really think about, you know, the why one-way is maybe not as good as a two-way method, which is a really important concept to keep in mind for the APR, because you see that theme kind of come up again and again on the computer-based exam. So I think the question itself might have just been a little too easy, a little too like trivia-based, which you don't really see a lot. The exam really is more that scenario-based question.
All right.
But.
Great,
Adrian. I'm back.
Oh, so
I'm going to go ahead and.
Did you hear me channeling?
I'm back. So let's go ahead now. And bring in, if we could bring in Nadia to share this particular question from Barbara Arnold. Go ahead, Nadia.
You are the director of public relations for a quasi-governmental agency located in Bethesda, Maryland, who is preparing your president and CEO for a media tour in New York City and Washington, D.C. In his prior role at another company, he believed in granting exclusives and playing reporters off each other, as well as shutting down a reporter if a negative story resulted from an interview with him. He also believes in speaking off the record and on the record with reporters. To help prepare your CEO for the media tour, you would stress, select three, A, tell the truth to reporters, B, if you do not want a statement quoted, do not make it, C, do not argue with a reporter, D, if the reporter asks a sensitive question, answer evasively, E, if you don't know the answer to a question, simply state no comment at this time, F, shut down reporters if they try to trap you. So select three.
Okay, and a lot of people are selecting three, and we've got a little bit of disagreement, but really not that much disagreement. Most everybody is selecting A, B, C, which is, according to Barbara Arnold, who does have her APR at this point, the correct answer. Nadia, would you share the rationale for this question as well?
Sure. The rationale is based on the guidelines for working with the press in effective public relations, 10th edition. The overall goal of good media relations is to establish relationships with reporters and editors. These relationships should be professional and cooperative, not adversarial. The goal of media relations should be to help foster accurate, balanced, and timely coverage of your organization's information.
Great. Mary Ellen said, we're all just very smart this evening, getting the majority of the questions correct in both of them. So, Adrian, would you comment on that particular question? Did you feel that that was getting a little closer to the type of question that you would find on the examination?
I think that it, kind of like the other one, like the answers were kind of obvious. You know, or a little easier, you know. So I think maybe it's probably more like the answers or the questions on the exam because of the scenario it gives you, but probably not the level of difficulty. But I guess one of the things that came to mind was reading it is a lot of times these scenarios, you know, they have a lot of, it's a scenario, so there's a lot of detail, there's a lot of information that they give you, and you sort of have to take out like the extraneous information that actually isn't relevant to the answer and stick to the principles that you know apply to the APR. So like in this example, the history of the individual in their other job and what they tended to do, it actually didn't really play into the answers because the advice you would give that individual would be the same as you give any individual. Maybe you need to stress them a little bit more with this person, but you need to not let all the details of the question kind of get in your head, if that makes sense.
Great. Excellent. Great feedback. Thank you so much for that. And at this point, what we're going to do is turn to Angel to share some notes on this topic, managing relationships. And remember that the module notes are a high-level view of the material, so it doesn't really keep you from studying the material yourself, but it helps you kind of get a global perspective on the material for that particular module. And it's also great for you to review the presentations and the interactions within each module as well. And you can create a presentation yourself for your notes, or some of you like to take notes in many different ways. Feel free to do that, and then feel free to share your notes. Angel, go ahead and take it away.
Hi, everybody. This is Angel. And, of course, we're talking about managing relationships here in Module 9. Next slide. Okay, so as Michael stated at the beginning, this is 50% of our of the exam, and it's important to understand the tools of managing relationships, but you need to focus on the actual relationships themselves. Next slide. Okay, when it comes to managing relationships in online channels, staying on top of technological advancements or developments in social media is a must for PR managers. But it's also important to remember that social media is just channels, they're tactics. They are not the actual strategy that you will use. And social media allows you to conduct media relations with traditional and non-traditional journalists. Bloggers have the ability to shape an organization's digital environment. Citizen journalists, anyone with a camera phone, you know, they can become, you know, part of the media. They can share their information and their news, and sometimes, quite often, they actually become the story sometimes. And social media allows you to represent the organization in the new media environment, build relationships with the organization, publics in real world and in the online world. So quick question, communications channels should be selected strategically. Can you name a communication strategy to develop and manage effective relationships? So for me, I can tell you a communication strategy that we use to effectively manage relationships. We, and this is internal, we have established an actual guide so that throughout the organization, when different departments are ready to communicate something externally, that they always go through the Office of Corporate Communications, that we're always on the same page, and that the agency itself is speaking with one voice. We have several people who, you know, they are out there in the media. They're allowed to go and speak, but it's important to have a guide where we are all speaking with the same voice so that different audiences are not getting different information from us. Next slide. Or conflicting information. Okay. Okay, so James Grunage, he talked about the two-way asymmetrical and symmetrical model. This is the model that he developed where in one way you're speaking directly to your audience and not really taking into account what they really need or how to actually speak to your audience. The other way, it's a two-way conversation between you and your audience. You're doing your surveys, you're understanding the needs of your audience, and you're having a conversation instead of giving them information. And so here on this chart actually lays out the different types of communications and the characteristics of those communications. Here in the last, you know, highlighted in red, the two-way symmetrical model uses communication to negotiate with the public, resolve conflict, and promote mutual understanding and respect between the organization and its stakeholders. And I do want to say, I'm sorry.
go ahead. Michael. No, please go ahead. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to say, you know, I cannot take credit for the notes. They are not my notes, but I do appreciate Michael and the team helping out with the notes and with the information. So, Michael, thank you in public, online, virtually.
Well, thank you for sharing the notes. That's fantastic. So, at this point, and I can't recall, Adrian, whether or not you were able to see the chat comments during that question, but many people listed many great strategies. One thing is that we do need to be careful of the social media channels. And Adrian, feel free to bring this up because this is a little bit of a controversial thing. We always get a little bit of a controversy is whether or not media is an audience, and also is media a strategy or is it a tactic? So that's the question, because we've got some
sure.
people that said consensus building, some people said advocacy, some people said surveying, and then some people did use some social media channels. So the question to you is, what do we do?
Sure. Well, no, to answer your question, no. Unfortunately, I still can't get the slides to come up. I'm not sure. So if I don't answer all of your questions, just remind me what I didn't answer. But I think that I don't think there's a black and white answer to what you're asking about, is media an audience, or, you know, is media a strategy or a tactic, because it depends on how you're using it. Media can absolutely be an audience depending on what it is you're trying to achieve and what how you're going about trying to achieve that. In most cases, no, using the media is a strategy or a tactic, depending on how, you know, what you're talking about, like a press conference or a press release. If anybody's still writing those are tactics. But, you know, working with the media or developing relationships with the media to get your message out, you know, that could be more of a strategy. So I think it depends on what you're talking about, and it's not straightforward. Social media, in my mind, is a tactic, and I approach it that way, that in my work and with my team, that social media is a tactic. It needs to fit into a larger picture. But you can have a social media strategy in terms of, you know, engaging your, I think engaging is a good strategy word, engaging your public in, you know, conversations around, you know, school violence or around autism. You're seeing that a lot with the Autism Awareness Day. You know, you pick a topic, and so, and then kind of but the specific act of posting something or taking pictures and you know, putting them on social media, those kinds of things are tactic based. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Is that controversial?
Yeah, not too controversial, and. Angel, I would love it if you had any questions for Adrian regarding that as well. If feel free to ask.
So one of the things that one of the questions that I did have about or I guess I wanted to get your opinion on, when it comes down to the media being you said it could go either way. It seems like in this day and age, especially when you have some media outlets that will continue to talk and drill someone, even things that we may not be interested in, but they will make a story where we didn't know there was one. And so it seems like the media can absolutely be an audience until you no longer make them one, I guess, until you answer the question or tell them what they want to know. So it just seems like they can be an audience. Is that what you mean?
Well, I mean, I think of an audience as in the group that you need to act or be, you know, behave in a certain way or have certain knowledge in order for you to achieve, you know, what you're trying to achieve. If you are trying to change, you know, perception of your company or your school district or your organization, you know, perception, you know, you think about that, like, well, whose perception are you trying to change? You're probably not trying to change the media's perception. You're trying to change your public's perception, you know, school district, your parents, your taxpayers, your community members. But the media is a very important player in how you approach or how you change that perception. So in that situation, that scenario, I would say, you know, you would maybe have a strategy of working with the media to get positive stories out there. So, you know, I think, again, it's just thinking about what are you trying to achieve and whose behavior, whose attitudes do you need to change in order to achieve that? And it might seem like, well, I'm trying to change the media's behavior because I'm trying to get them to do more positive stories. But you almost have to take that leap, the step forward of what would those positive stories achieve? What would better relationships with the media, what would that achieve? And where would that get you in the long run? So it's yes, I think in that sense you could call the media an audience, but you kind of have to be willing to take it a step further and think of maybe an audience that is outside of the media. So in most cases, the media is sort of the conduit to getting that information out there. And the better your relationship is with the media, the more they're going to be willing to work with you in a sticky situation, or they're going to get those positive stories out there, or they're going to come to you and say, hey, you know, this is what we heard, we're going to give you, you know, a chance to comment on it, or, you know, you have those positive interactions, you're probably not going to be able to get them to just, like, not cover the sticky situations, though, because that's then they're just not doing their job.
Great, Adrienne. Thank you so much for that. Question? Excellent. And I wanted, can you hear me? Testing 1, 2.
Yes.
Oh, good.
I can hear you.
And I want to do a quick, excellent. I want to do a quick shout out to APRs that are in the meeting, because we have several in the meeting right now. Joan is there, and also Grant is there, and I can't see if there's other ADA. Feel free to say I'm an APR in the chat window, because we have a couple of people that are in the meeting that are also APRs, and I don't think they're identified as such in their name. So, and that's sort of a word to folks that do join. It's great if you do put APR in there, so people do know that you are an APR. So thank you very much, Adrienne. That's fantastic. And now we're going to go to a panel presentation response. And there's a couple of sort of notes that we need to make when we do this. We are doing the communication planning portion of the panel presentation. We're not doing the entire panel presentation, because that involves the questionnaire, and it also involves a discussion with the panel. What we're doing is just looking at the communication plan response. And so when you do a communication planning response, we recommend that you work on a case problem presentation before doing your panel presentation. And the reason we do that is because when you do an off-the-shelf communication plan response, you're not as concerned about what the boss is going to think, or what it's going to cost, or how it's going to be implemented in your organization, or how good you need to look in order to feel like you're doing well. We want you to focus just on the communication planning components. And the reason for that is that it will help you with the APR examination if you really know the communication planning components. So consider doing a regular case, off-the-shelf case problem before you do your panel presentation. Then do a panel presentation and apply what you understand about the communication components to your particular panel presentation. And we also do highly, highly, highly recommend submitting a draft of your presentation to an APR for review. This is a little bit more of an art than it is a science, and it's great to get feedback to improve and fine-tune your response, especially those planning components. So with that, we're going to turn it over to Mike, who has a great presentation here. I'm going to give them a little heads up, Mike, that at one point he does have draft objectives and then also fine-tunes them into output objectives. So take a look at that. So Mike, with that, go ahead and take it away.
Good evening, everybody. How we doing? So I'm going to take you through a quick case study of my company here. It was a marketing communications plan we conducted to help deliver and communicate our brand new 200,000 square foot office center that we purchased in downtown Columbus. The building itself eventually became the Audubon Parka Office Center, but prior to that, it was an old warehouse for FAO Lazarus. I'm not real sure if everybody knows what Lazarus is, but just a department store here in Columbus, Ohio. And let's see. Mike, I don't see where I would move the...
Yeah, just put your mouse right in the center of the slide, and then the two arrows will come up, and then you can use the arrow to the pointing to the right.
It's not coming up for some reason here.
Okay, I'll go ahead and go for
That's
it.
That's fine. So just a quick background here. Of course, with our company, we were founded in 1966. We are a family-owned company started by E.V. Bischoff, now managed or owned and operated and managed by his son, David. Do maintain a full staff to service the needs of each of our tenants from maintenance to security. We are a office leasing company, just to provide some context. There's some arrows there. And then so for situation analysis, E.V. Bischoff Company has renovated and managed historic buildings in downtown Cleveland, Columbus, and Pittsburgh for more than 50 years. The company has 4 properties in downtown Pittsburgh, 3 in Columbus, 2 in Cleveland, and then 1, of course, now in northern Cincinnati. As I stated before, we lease and manage each of the buildings, and we keep an on-site maintenance staff, works 24/7. But in 1993, we purchased a 200,000-square-foot single-story building in downtown Columbus. And sans a few small tenants, the company's never been able to fill more than about 15,000 square feet, and it created a loss of about $250,000 of potential revenue every year, and then nearly $50,000, it costs us nearly $50,000 per year in general upkeep.
Oops. You have control of the slides okay. Now, Mike.
I got arrows now too, Mike. Sorry, I didn't tell you. Sorry about
okay,
that.
Okay, I think we're. I'll leave it to you. You go for it.
Yeah. Thank you. The area surrounding the building served as a police impound lot for the city of Columbus, and then in 2007, the city of Columbus signed legislation to create Columbus 2020, an initiative to help attract residents and businesses to the downtown area through the building of new parks, new recreation centers, new apartment developments, and economic incentives for companies to bring businesses downtown. Columbus Metro Park brings thousands of visitors daily and offers many amenities such as a dog park, volleyball towers, some new trails for biking, jogging, and walking, and a new boat launch. So the problem was our company needed to fill its newest purchase office center. And I conducted 4 different types of research, ranging anywhere from the informal primary all the way down to formal and secondary, that covered in-depth interviews with city council members, Columbus Economic Development Office, the Columbus 2020, the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, and the Brewery District Planning Commission, which is just a couple regional commissions downtown Columbus area. We did an online survey to and tenants of competitor buildings to find out what companies that lease over 10,000 square feet of office space are looking for in an office. We also asked the question of how does Columbus Metro Parks leadership feel about the development? And then, of course, we also asked the question of what are the demographics of those who lease office space of 10,000 square feet or more? And then the answers to our questions were, for the first one, how would city leaders and influencers feel about a redevelopment of the Lazarus Warehouse into a new development that complements downtown and the park itself? And after speaking to all 9 council members, it was found that there would be support of the development. Typo there. It was also found in 2012 that city council passed legislation to give an economic and tax incentive to any company bringing Columbus Central Business District. And the location of our new development was within those Central Business District boundaries. And we found, answering the question, how does Columbus Metro Parks leadership feel about the development? The executive staff, including the director of 8 of the 11 board of directors were against the development and wanted the space to be demolished and a new resource center constructed. What are companies that lease over 10,000 square feet of space looking for in an office? We found that they're looking for parking, open loft style offices, Google style, large windows, recreational areas, modern amenities. And then what are the demographics of those who lease office space to 10,000 square feet or more? Well, the majority of office lessees are lawyers, lobbyists, architects, marketing, pros, and financial professionals. The largest age group of downtown employees is between the ages of 25 and 40. And marketing and tech startups account for the fastest growing businesses in Columbus. So the goal was to establish the Audubon Office Park as the new choice of office space in downtown Columbus. And I came up with several drafted objectives, and it was brought to my attention that these were more output objectives. So after some review and discussion, we changed them to more outcome objectives. And the four objectives were: by January, 10 out of 11 Metro Parks Board of Directors will publicly support the Audubon Park Office Center development. By June, 5 of the 9 city council members will voice their support of the development. By January, over 75% of the downtown regional planning commissioners will understand the value of the development to the community. And by June, 50% of all community users of 10,000 square feet or more of office space will be aware of the value of the development. The target publics that we came up with were city leaders, city council, the mayor's office, the Columbus Economic Development Office, leaders of the downtown city planning commissions, the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, Brewery District Commission, Special Improvements District, and Columbus 2020, Columbus Metro Parks Board of Directors, users of 10,000 square feet or more of office space, brokers in Central Ohio, and then the biggest national real estate brokerages. Strategies involved rebranding of the development to the Audubon Park Office Center, investing $1 million in renovating the facility, drive awareness of the development, local brokers and nationwide commercial real estate brokers, establish the development as an economic booster to the city, and partner with Metro Parks' executive leadership to cross-promote the park and the development. Some of the tactics that we used were anywhere from press releases to complete renovation of the facility. We came up with new logos. We basically put the logo everywhere. We created signage. The park itself lines up with one of the busier freeways in downtown Columbus, so we were able to hang a 40-foot by 75-foot banner across the entire building that shone out to the interstate, where you could see where a lot of people would pass by, and it was passed by about 100,000 people daily. We used blog posts. We engaged with the press on social media. And I don't know what happened here.
Hang on just a sec. It's called technical difficulties.
Okay.
Let's just see if we can get it to come right back up. There you go.
There it is. We conducted videos on we used video updates on construction. We engaged on social media with civic and nonprofit organizations who devoted time to advance the city. We had an open house when the project was completed, and we also had sort of a press conference as well. And then, of course, the evaluation of our results. One of the objectives: by January, 10 out of 11 Columbus Metro Parks Board of Directors will publicly support the Audubon Park Office Center development. And the result of that was, as of today, all 11 members have pledged their support of the project. By June, 5 of the 9 city council members will voice their support of the development. And the result of that was we gained support of 6 of the 9 by June of 15. And then we had all 9 by January of 2016. And by January, over 75% of the downtown regional planning commissioners will understand the value of the development to the community. And the result of that was all regional planning commissioners were supportive of the project by January of 15. We wanted to lease 20,000 square feet of office space by June of 17. We signed our first lease in March of 17. We do have several deals in the works. We made some changes and some reevaluation to the program, and we hope to, well, we should obtain that goal by the end of this year. And then finally, by June, 50% of all community users of 10,000 square feet or more of office space will be aware of the value of the development. We did a pre-survey of all users of 10,000 square feet or more of office space in Central Ohio, showing that only 30% of those returning the surveys knew of the development in 2014. We did a follow-up survey in February of 16, and we showed that only 40% were aware. We have since reevaluated that and sent another survey, and we're about to the 49% of awareness now.
Okay, Mike, thank you very much. That was okay. So, and let's before we get to Adrian's comments, I should let Adrian know there are several comments from people in the chat window. And Mike, I'm going to be sending the entire chat log to you so that you can review that. Joan and several others have been very good about making sure that you're, you know, double-checking whether you're talking about a strategy or a tactic, making sure that you really keep those pretty clear. And somebody also said, you know, little things like even typos in a panel presentation obviously were like on our best behavior in terms of our communication ability. And so people will sort of flag that a little bit. And So with that, Adrian, would you share some feedback for Mike as well?
Yeah, sure. I guess I wanted to start with the research section because I think, you know, there's a lot of information here, but coming as, you know, someone who doesn't really know anything about this industry, I was, you know, having a hard time kind of following what was happening and what the situation was and what were the kind of relevant pieces and how they fit together. And I think that that's important to remember for your panel because they won't necessarily be from your industry. They won't necessarily know how it works. So it's important to kind of help them not only understand how the industry works, but understand sort of the relevant forces that work sort of playing on your situation that helped you sort of arrive at your problem. And I think that's the way you need to think about the situational analysis is not so much what are the facts on the ground, but what are the facts on the ground that helps you arrive to the problem that you're facing. And I think the research you have here is really good. There's a lot there. You clearly did a lot of work, but it doesn't just kind of on its face, I'm not sure what pieces of that research you then use to inform the rest of your work. So I think that's one of the things to think about is that research that you have in here and that situational analysis, kind of making them the same thing and using all of that to tell me the story of how you arrived at the problem that you're facing. So I think that would make that section a lot stronger. And would really, because what you want to do is really show how the decisions you made moving forward were research-based and how they were informed by all of that great work that you did. Any questions about that? Does that make sense? What do you think, Michael?
Yeah,
that makes complete
sense.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. We're both named Mike. So you go ahead, Michael. Mike.
Sorry.
No, it makes perfect sense, and I do appreciate that, Adrian. I really, really do. So yes, I will definitely take that all.
One of the things I would say too is one of the things that's missing from this is the key messages. And as they look at, you know, Michael was saying that the in the chat window, people were saying, you know, really like hone in on the difference between the strategies and the tactics, and don't forget your key messages is, I think, the other piece to that. So of all of the, when you identify your audiences, tell me what you want those audiences to know. And those are your key messages. And then in your tactics, show me how you wove those key messages into your work and got them out to everybody. Because I think that, again, is sort of showing me how you looked at your research and you looked at your audiences and really thought about the objectives and what you're trying to achieve, and you got that information out to everyone.
So it's one of the things that I always like really stress with the folks that I work with, that even if you know all the messages, the things that you want people to know, you're like, oh yeah, well, I have them all in my head. Don't underestimate how important it is to write those messages down and share them with your team so that everybody knows what those messages are and everybody's incorporating those messages into their work, whether it's talking to people or in writing or whatever. So that's a really important piece that I don't see here that I would definitely add in.
Yeah, and Adrian, this goes a little bit to some of the questions and comments that we had in the chat window. And Mike, we first have to preface all of this by saying that you have a great plan here. What we're doing is looking at it with APR eyes and saying, you know, honing in on what the APR is all about. And the APR is about making sure that all of your components are aligned properly, just like Adrian is saying that the research itself, is it specifically aligned with the objectives that you're doing in your plan? So that it's all sort of honing in on that outcome target. There is one really big question here, and Adrian, I think you're going to need to address this. In the comments window, people were asking, is the renovation of the building itself a communication problem?
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Or that's, yeah. These are the questions that are kind of coming up.
Yeah. I made note of that too. And I think, you know, the answer is no, it's not a communication strategy. Where I would put that kind of thing, and you actually don't have this laid out in that way. I don't know, you know, you're sort of missing, like, you have the research section, but you actually that don't have like planning implementation. You sort of have this like strategies and tactics, but the renovation part really is, I think, more of a implementation phase, because it's, you know, thinking about, okay, who else is involved? What other things have to happen as part of this project that then your communications plan is sort of wrapped up in? So that's where I would sort of factor in that that renovation. If you, you know, as kind of what are the non-communication related things, if you wanted to talk about it as part of your plan. Because obviously communication isn't happening in a vacuum. It's not the only component of a project. It doesn't hurt to, you know, acknowledge some of the other things that are happening, but it's Michael's absolutely right. It's not part of the communication strategies.
And, you know, Adrian, there's one other thing here too, and you know, and it's, Mike, we are supporting you in all of this. This isn't to sort of cut things down, but in your problem statement, it basically is filling the building. And that is very, very common. Companies will, or an organization will say, we need more members in our organization. But that's actually not the problem. That's kind of like the symptom. So you don't have tenants filling the building, but the question really is, and this is where the research that Adrian was pointing to is so important, is to figure out why people aren't attracted to the building. What do they need in order to be attracted to the building? And then that becomes part of the communication problem, because not only do you have to get that word out, but you also have to help people engage with the organization as a value. And it's not so much about filling the space as it is about figuring out why people aren't coming to the building to utilize it, and then crafting messages that specifically address those needs.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Michael. And I think, and Mike, seriously, like what he's saying, this is, because you clearly have a very successful project here. The idea is to think about it in the way that
an APR would think about it. And like Michael's saying, if the research section sort of really looks at all of that feedback that you got in the research that you did and really teases out what people are thinking, what people's reactions are, what people's behaviors are, and that would help, will help you hone in on, okay, what is the problem here? What is the thing that I need to sort of work on changing with my audiences in order to get where I want to go? That'll sort of come out when you start to look at the research in that way.
Great. Mike, I'm hoping that you just like aren't, because we can't see you, throwing up your arms and saying, well, I give up, because you did a great job. It's a wonderful.
Oh, no,
wonderful.
Yeah, no giving up.
Yeah, please don't give up, because you've got a great thing. And honestly, what we would actually recommend is go, you know, after you kind of, you know, recover from basically being bombarded with a lot of, you know, critical issues in your plan, go back and say, okay, well, what is the problem? And try to recraft a communication problem. And what all that does is it strengthens your, not only your ability, but it also strengthens your plan. So, Mike, are we okay with you?
Oh, yeah. I'm just keeping the microphone muted so you don't hear your background noise. No. Listen, I don't know if you saw the message I put in the attendee chat. I'm not proud enough to sit here and have such an ego that I roll my eyes at this or throw my hands up. This is a big undertaking for me, a huge learning experience. And as I stated, criticism, whether it's pointers or whatever, however you want to describe it, to me, it's all good because it's going to strengthen me as a candidate to get through this panel presentation and then through the exam. So, you know, believe me, this is awesome. I can't say that
enough.
Excellent. This is
well,
great.
We've got
if
several people just, giving
Michael,
you a thumb.
Can I just say
go ahead, Adrian, please.
Well, just one other quick thing. In the evaluation where you talk about that you made changes to the program, that is awesome. And I want to know what those changes were, because being able to show the panel that you evaluated and made changes based on what you saw in your evaluation is a really, I mean, that's what an EPR does. So that I want to know more about what changes did you make and why. So get that, make sure you get that information in here somewhere.
And Adrian and Michael and anybody out there, it's an APR. Allow me just to ask this question really quickly here. How thorough do we want to be on these panel presentations? I mean, are we talking if we, you know, an hour and a half that we need to be speaking? And I mean, every little, you know, salt and pepper point, crossing T's and dotting I's that we need to throw out there need to be in there? Or is it just a general overview, sit back and answer questions?
So my experience was that it really was more of a conversation than a presentation, but everybody's panel discussion or panel presentation is different. So I think you have to be ready with all of that detail. So even if it's not on a slide that you're presenting, you have to be ready to talk about it, because those questions will probably come up.
Okay. One thing I might
Thank
add
you.
To that is that, Mike, the thing that's gold about the APR is the situation analysis, coming up with a real clear goal, coming up with well-formed audiences, and coming up with objectives that are outcome-based objectives and strategies. Once you have that, that's the foundation. All of the tactics, which is a lot of detail, hang on top of that foundation. So once you have that foundation, that's really what they're mostly interested in. The tactics should be there, and they should be aligned with your goal, but frankly, they're just the dressing. The foundation is what they're going to be mostly concerned with. So fantastic.
Okay, makes
really
sense.
Great. Please shower Mike with lots of thumbs up and claps or whatever you do to thank Mike for sharing that. And of course, we want to, we're getting towards the end of the spring session, so we want you to take a look at your progress. And there's a page, you can do it several different ways in the online course, but there's a page in Module 10 that will give you your percentage complete. And what we really want to do is to see that get to 75% or more. And we also want to make sure that you have done a case problem response, at least. And we prefer it if you do a case problem response and the panel presentation, just like Mike. You don't have to present it in a web meeting, but you need to upload it to the online course. In that case, we know that you're getting to be ready for the examination, and we have a tip sheet that we will give you only after you reach that level of study. So please try to get there. Also, some of you, we do have people occasionally in the online study course that are not necessarily public relations professionals. They may be executive directors for smaller nonprofits, or they may be lawyers. We've had several people in that capacity, and they really just want a certificate, and you may actually get a certificate as well. And we're happy to get that to you at the end after you finish 75% and those milestone activities. So thank you very much. Let's give Adrian a big round of thumbs up and applause and whatever else you need to do to tell Adrian that we were really happy that she was here. And Adrian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And also please thank Angel, and also we had David and also Nadia with the questions as well. Please take a note on the schedule. We have room next week for one or two volunteers. Mike is going to be joining us again next week with notes on the panel presentation. So this is going to be where to focus on what the panel presentation is and how to do it. If you want to do a case problem response, we can take you next week. Grant, who's in the meeting in the chat window, he'll be joining us on the panel. And Robert Mayall is going to be joining us, and he is an excellent leader in public relations across the country, so we're really happy that he'll be here as well. And then also notice that we could use a question, and the week after that as well. We've got a couple of people that we could fill in. And we're also going to be starting the summer cohort on January 5th. So please take a note of that, guys. And I see Dulce is volunteering. I see that, Dulce. We'll make sure that we get back to you. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm glad. I wish George had been here. And we're really happy that you were all with us this evening. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.